What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by our friends over X2 Power Batteries. We're back with the captain, Mr. Andy Full. As always, I'm your host, Bailey Egbrett. Andy, what's going on, man?
Not much. You sound a little rushed tonight.
Yeah.
Everything yeah. Right over there?
It's been a hectic day, man. That's the reason we're a few minutes late, at least going live here. It's 8:07. We usually go live at 8. And it's just been hectic, to say the least. Just finally wrapping up our bracket that to be made for part two of the show tonight, which will be fun. But nonetheless, finally got everything, I think, in order here, but we're good to go. And we got Mr. Justin Hamner joining us for today. For first part of the show, we're going to catch up with Justin, talk about catching a freaking 11 pounder on Bassmaster Live. Which is his personal best.
Wait, he caught that on a jig, right? If I remember correctly?
Jerkbait.
Oh, I remember he caught a giant on a jig, too.
I think that was Toledo.
You might be right.
I think it was Toledo. Day three, Toledo, I want to say.
Maybe.
He's going to join us, so we can check it
out. Service together.
I'm fairly positive it's a jerkbait, because that dude is a jerkbait throwing machine. And it's fitting, which is why I think I picked the bracket for today, and it's a jerkbait bracket challenge. People definitely seem to like when we do those. So later on in the episode, we're going to have Mr. Tyler Berger joining for part two, as well as, and he's coming on as a last minute, because we've been, like I'm saying, everything's been last minute right now. A good buddy of mine, never been on the show before. He's a freaking hammer and definitely has his experience with a bunch of jerk baits. And that is Kobe Koenig of Wired to Fish is going to come join us as well to go through that bracket. So it'll be Andy and those two fellas joining the show to do a little jerk bait.
I hope I know enough about jerk baits as much as they do. So
probably not as much as those two, but yeah. Then again, I don't know any of us combined have enough experience to even try to match with Mr. Hamner that'll be joining us here in a second. That dude's a fiend. But we got a bunch of things to cover off quick before we bring Justin in to start the show off. Obviously, big week to kick off the, let's call it the championship season, if you will.
Yeah.
Red Crest kicks off on, I think, Thursday. I believe
we just had the MPFL championship at Amistad.
Yeah. And that was, I was talking with Paul Benson on the phone today. We're going to try to put a show together, kind of wrapping up that and how they were fishing down there in Amistad and put together there were some big old bags, big fish caught. And there's some different things that will make for some really cool conversation that Paul informed me over the phone today. So we're going to look out for that. We'll probably be a post classic show that we'll do with that. Championship MPFL. Now we got Red Crest coming this week. And then obviously next week will be the Classic. We will not be at Red Crest this week. We'll be at the Classic though. Mostly we'll be around the X2 Power booth. I will be, unfortunately the whole gang can't attend this year. You guys are stuck with just me if you are attending the Classic.
Who scheduled the Classic around spring break to make flights so expensive? That's my question.
I don't know. I think it's a Tulsa thing, man. I think Tulsa is always expensive because it was expensive for Red Crest the last time.
Nationwide flights are up like $100-$200 for that week alone, like wherever you go. A lot of school districts around the country are on spring break.
But who the hell's flying to freaking Tulsa?
Well, it's just flying in general. Like,
If you're going to Classic, it makes sense, but like, spring break, no one's be like, "Hey, I'm going to spring break to Tulsa." Like,
no one's saying we'll just blame it on the economy. All right, like the economy stinks. So
I don't know, dude. I've been flying all over the place in the past 2 months, and flights have been fine. Yeah. It's been actually pretty cheap, actually.
Yeah.
But no, yeah. Either way, so I'll be at the Classic. We'll be at the X2 Power booth. We'll be floating around the Humbert Minn Kota booth. Omnia is actually gonna have a booth there as well. I think they're dueling up with Aquaview to have a booth at the Classic. So We'll have a bunch of that information the closer we get. And we're going to talk a little bit of Classic as well with Hamner, of course, being that he's going to be competing in it. Speaking of X2, one of the notes we have is that the X2 Power batteries are still heavily discounted right now. If anyone's looking to scoop some up, you're getting the boat out, looking to get things ready if you're kicking off your season anytime soon. So check those out. Links, of course, down below. And we do have a discount code if you want to save some money on some batteries. With that being said as well, yesterday, Blackfish Gear dropped some new stuff. They've dropped, which I'm hyped about because it's basically my entire wardrobe. If you guys know me, all I wear are sun pants or sun shorts.
I ordered my two pairs today.
What's that?
I ordered my pairs today. New pants.
There you go. New pants.
New pants.
And these will be ripped in a week.
Probably.
Yeah. That's all he's thick
eyes. Just kidding. Yes.
But yeah, they dropped some new sun pants, which is going to be absolutely clutch. I'm ordering a crap ton, as well as some new colors in some of their some of these sun hoodies, the UPF shirts and the sun hoodies, which is another one, big one. Once it's winter start, you know, like that April time frame, I only wear sun hoodies basically from then until November as well. It's basically my entire wardrobe. Yeah. Well, in addition to that, I don't know if we talked about it on the last show, but the potential state record for Indiana smallmouth was broken, an 8-pounder. This dude's got a sick freaking name, Rex Remington. I mean, that's a damn cool name if I ever heard one.
Sounds like Rex should have shot the biggest buck in Indiana.
The wrong record. Wrong record. But it was 8.23 pounds, and apparently it was caught on a jerkbait, specifically a Berkeley Stunna. So there's more to confirm on that, but pretty cool stuff. There's been some write-ups on Outdoor Life, Wired to Fish, things like that. But nonetheless, cool to see more records being fallen and fish getting bigger still. So with that, I did have some links down below. We'll get into later in the part two when we do the bracket, but we'll have all the links to the different things we talk about on today's show, like the new tube crawl that Great Lakes Finesse actually just dropped, the Juvie crawl, which is
very interesting.
Intriguing. Yeah. I don't know if people follow them on social, but their release video, if you will, showing the new bait was actually kind of intriguing. So check that out. It's actually on Omni already. So if you want to get some 10% off, we have the discount code and the link down below for you guys to check out. But beyond that, we have a new discount code for Hobie Eyewear, and they have some new stuff on the horizon, which I'm pretty hyped about. They'll be at the Classic as well. Make sure you guys check that out below. We don't really have a code, if you will, to get Hobie Eyewear. So if you guys have been looking for us, in the past 2-3 years, we'll be working with Hobie to get a discount off of shades. You just got to go through our link now. There really isn't a discount code you can use on the site anymore. Just got to go and click the link in any of our social media or any of our shows. That's how you can, once you click the link, that discount's automatically applied to whatever you're going to be buying from Hobie. So pretty cool stuff, man. A lot of big news, a lot to catch up on, and we'll have even more when we're doing our pre-classic show next week. But Andy, I think without further ado, we should get our guest in here.
We shouldn't keep him waiting. He's going to drink all this sweet tea down there and it'll be gone. That's right.
Without further ado, let's bring him on here, Mr. Justin Hamner. What's going on, man?
What'd y'all say about? Hello,
hey you there, can you hear us?
There it is. Oh, nice. Maybe
you got us.
I don't know. Did y'all say sweet tea?
Yeah, I said you're gonna drink it all, and then you held it up.
Man, y'all are like stepping up in the world. Y'all like make this look legit.
It's all Bailey's doing.
I don't know about legit, but it's all Photoshop. It's AI. It's all fake.
Everything's AI.
Everything's
fake. Didn't actually me.
Dude, I've been seeing some freaking posts from brands lately going down the rabbit hole of AI that they're like, they don't even have people modeling their apparel anymore. They're using AI to feature all their stuff.
What?
Yeah, dude, I saw it the other day. I'm like,
good way to save money.
It was a couple brands.
I won't say them out loud, but like I just was like, yeah, I can't follow this crap. Just unfollowed completely.
Who is it?
I'll tell you after. I'm not in the game.
Just throw them under the bus.
Just toss them. Controversy. We want controversy, Bailey.
Yeah, that's what sells these days.
If anybody knows this show or knows me, I am the least person away like that gets involved with controversy. I want to be as far away as possible.
I think that's why you have me on. I hate it.
Fair enough.
So there's that, but then I also get people on that do love controversy so that they can say it for me.
There you go.
Yeah, same goes.
Way to
there
do it.
Yeah. Dude, how the hell have you been since Lake Fork? You be able to come down from that high of catching an 11-pounder on live?
No, I'm just going to do that every tournament now.
Hell yeah.
Gosh, that was – did y'all see that fish?
Yeah.
The thing was stout.
We were sitting there watching it live, and I was like, that's a goddamn blimp.
It was stupid. Like, I've never caught a 10-pounder before. Hell, I guess I still haven't. But, yeah.
It was straight to 11.
Wait,
straight
to, that's a big jump. Was I shaking?
It looked like you were shaking when you caught it. I mean, I wouldn't blame you.
I tried to stand up and fish like right after that, and I grabbed the rod and whatever, and I went to go make a cast, and I'm just like, just give me a minute. Like, I've never been the guy to like sit down and like take a breather, but I had to like legit just like, whew, all right. And then I realized I still had a 3-pounder. I was like, oh, crap. I got fish still.
How much was left in the day when you caught that thing?
About an hour and a half. Yeah, it was like right at 1:30. And dude,
I think it was that when you made that call, the X2 team, we were like Jacob and Alex and them boys, we were all chit-chatting back and forth. They're like, oh, yeah, did you see that? Like, hammer with the 11. And we're like, and I think at that rate, that put you unofficially to like, well, unofficially official to, I think you were in second by like maybe a pound. And I think you still had like a high three or something like that in your bag still.
Yeah.
And we're like, dude, that's like, what, if he just smokes another giant, like, it's over.
And I don't know. I think it was after it went off because it was like right after 2 o'clock. I had one like, under the trolling motor, it was like a 7-something, and it just freaking short. Just had one hook. I mean, it was like barely on the tip of his mouth, but it pulled off. But yeah, that would have helped. And then I get back, and the worst part was my dad. He's like, him and my family actually drove all the way over there like that night, and they were there, and my dad's like in the parking lot, and I was like, I haven't looked at anything, so I ain't got a clue. My dad comes up to me. He's like, all you needed was a pound and a half. Like, wait, what? He's like,
you
got second by a pound and a half. I was like, oh, crap. Yeah. And then just to find out I lost by like 7 pounds. So, didn't even get third or whatever. I was like, okay, that fish wouldn't have done it for me. But at the time, I don't know. Well, this is whatever. I had a freaking 11-pounder. Nobody could tell me nothing. Yeah,
120 something? Was it
124 pounds?
24. Sheesh.
Yeah. Don't be shortchanging me.
I was trying to remember off the top of my head. I actually didn't even go and look at it, but I remember you're like 7 pounds back, and I'm like, what did Trey have? And I was trying to do the math in my head quick.
It was like 6.5, something like that. So.
Did it ever cross your mind, like, as your weight was getting up there, of the potential to go and break the bass record the 4-day?
I wasn't really thinking about that.
No,
I wanted to win. Like, I wanted to win bad. But no,
what did you think you needed? I never
thought of that. Like mid to upper 30s. Which is, that's a bold statement, Cotton.
Yeah, when you're going to you're going to launch that morning. Like, I think I need 40 today. And it's like, what?
If I can get 40, I think I'll have a chance. And then you're actually like, I could, because like, no crap, I should have had 40 three of those 4 days. Like, had the fish on, saw them. Yep, jerkbait fish. By the end of the tournament, I was using 20-pound tests on my jerkbait. Like
20,
it was, and they didn't 20. Care. No, they didn't care. It was just like I was having to horse them. If you haven't been to Fork, it is a landmine of whatever,
timber. So they do just like dig you down and pin you against the stumps basically and pull off.
They like you think them small mouthful, they do pull for their size, but when you have like those 7 to 8 pounders, Lake Fork, I don't know why, they are some pissed off fish. Like they are
Because they
mad at the
get
world.
caught all the time by
I think that's what
10,000
it is. They
anglers.
like they know what
Gosh, dang it,
happens
this
and they know
again.
what to do. Because they will just go directly to whatever the nearest stump is, which is only like 2 foot away. I still don't know what, I feel like they planted that or something, because I've never been in a forest where their trees are so densely like packed in together. It's like this isn't right. I don't even know how that
Yeah, because
happens.
they just flooded like a flat, basically, right? Or like a river drain or something. I don't know
Yeah,
exactly how they did it, but
a natural forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, isn't
It's
that all
all
of
that.
Texas though? Like it, most of those
Yes.
lakes are
Yes.
like natural forests. Oh
It's
man.
crazy, but dude, they got them. I mean, it would. I'm pretty good at live scope. Like, feel like I know what I'm looking at, and the amount of giant fish that of that size that I saw that would be just inches from my bait that week, it blow your mind. I mean, it's
What do you think the
ridiculous.
ratio was of like fish you saw versus fish you caught?
Oh, that's a good question.
A good day, probably maybe 10% on
Wow,
my
really? You're
best
seeing
day.
that many big ones?
Yeah.
They had
And
to
that's
drive you
probably
mad.
like really high. It's frustrating. Like, dude, that 11, whatever, 11, 7, I saw it every day of the tournament on the same exact stump. And like I would start in there in that morning, and there would always be like a new wave of fish pulling in, and they were dumb. Like I could tell, like as soon as you throw to them, it's pretty easy to catch those. But then there was like the same like little run I would make to try to get these, few fish to bite, and they were just giant sitting on those same little spots. But that fish, every time I throw my jerkbait bite, it would just like just go straight to the bottom. I mean, it's like 8 foot deep, something like that. But for whatever reason, that freaking final day, that was the second time I came back in there. I started in there that morning. That morning I threw to her and she just went to the bottom. And then when I pulled up there that afternoon, like I threw it because she was so high later in the day. I mean, dude, she was probably maybe 2 foot below the surface.
Oh.
So I threw it just like right past her. And I mean, I came in on her. Instead of like normally you keep the bait above them so they'll come up to eat it, I came at her and it
You hit
pissed
her in
her
the
off.
face, basically.
Like it was, I was like in her zone. That was 100% just like a reaction. Hey, this is in my freaking area and I'm destroying you.
I'm destroying.
It's so good.
You think she was spawning then?
It's
If
super.
it was that consistent over 4 days? Or
I
that's
don't
just
think she
like her big
I think
fish
she was
territory?
I think she was just waiting for it to get right, because there was never any other fish with her. And dude, I think she was just, because it was a
Sunbathing.
perfect spawning pocket. Yeah, 100%.
That's just her log.
And
She owns that log. Nobody else
like
comes
that
near her
was her
log.
log. Yeah.
That's the old Bessie's log.
Like
Yeah.
Trek, this is my swamp.
Oh my gosh. And just to clarify, she had it like in the mouth. So don't go Randy Bucket on me. I didn't snag it.
I think if anybody goes and
She
watches the
ate
clip, they'll see it's very clearly eaten. It's
Yeah. When she
gone.
came up like jumping, it was like it was gone.
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
And shoot at that size, 11 pounder, just like one small, open of the mouth. That's
Oh
a
yeah.
vacuum sealer. It's
Dude, I think that's
oh.
what's so frustrating of how many other ones like that size were just, it's like just open your mouth. Just open your freaking mouth.
Yeah.
I just want to put you on a scale real quick and then I'll let you go.
Yeah. It's like it'll take 10
Oh,
seconds.
it's
It'll be in and
cool.
out.
It's cool. Yeah. It'll only
Sure, don't
hurt
even
for a
have to fight
second.
Yeah.
Nah, they don't
So
feel pain.
beefing up to 20 pound, did you have to swap like trebles, like beef up your trebles any, or did you just kind of stay with what you were rocking?
Stay with what I'm rocking. I'm already rocking some pretty stout stuff.
All right.
Yeah, well, it was good in that area.
Didn't bend anything out?
Nah, nope.
Because you,
All I
if I
did
remember
was,
correctly, you run a glass rod, right?
Yeah. Or it's like the composite. It's that Halo, the Canterbury series. It's actually his cranking rod, and it's a 7 foot. So it's got a little bit more backbone. No, I beefed it up to that 20-pound test, not because I was breaking off, but because I wasn't comfortable pulling as hard as I was, like, to freaking keep them from going around that stuff. Yeah. Like, it was insane. It's stupid.
Was it like when you would hook them, was it a just fight and hope that they'll come back at you? Or is it like you're on a trolling motor trying to steer them away from everything once you hooked them?
It depended. Like, most of the time I would just winch down. Like, honestly, I was trying to get them to come up. I know we hate fish coming up with the jerkbait, but like, I have a lot of confidence in my setup, and I wanted them to come to the surface. That way they wouldn't, because the more they dug, the scarier it got.
Yeah, you're just trying to keep their heads up.
I would just literally winch on them, try to get them to come up. And once they come up jumping, I would crank down harder.
I like it.
It was fun.
Well, so you said she was 2 feet on the surface when you actually caught her. And basically, you had to like get the jerk bait to like almost slap her in the face. Like, did you notice anything when you first pulled up that last day when you actually caught her, that if she was acting different, was she moving a little bit more? Or
no, she was still, I mean, she literally just went from like maybe 4 foot, like on the side of the log, to she was just like perched up, like right above it. So, I mean, I guess later in the day, she was just sunning. It wasn't, I don't know.
Getting those eggs ready to be laid.
Yes. And it didn't do justice, like how fat she actually was, because I measured it. And I mean, I was like, it's 11, whatever. I ain't got to measure this. And then freaking Marshall told me, he's like, no, we need to check it just in case. It was barely 24 and a half inches. Like,
dang.
Almost had to throw it back. It was that fat.
Just to put it in perspective, so I caught, I was headed home from my parents' house in Florida, and I stopped some random freaking pothole lake in Florida near Jacksonville. And I caught my PB, which was 7 pounds, 8 ounces, and it was 23 and three quarters, if that gives anybody any perspective of how big that fish was.
You call yourself a lanky one.
Dude, that's the thing. She looked like she had a belly, too. So Justin,
that's the thing. It's not like it. It just had a belly. It was so tall, like it didn't look real. It was disproportionate. I don't know. It was just a bowling taller ball than it was. Yeah, it was insane.
It was a little Danny. You saw Vito,
like Rivette, like his was like the same exact length. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it was giant, and it had that just giant belly. But dude, we pulled them up like beside each other before we came up on stage just to look at them. And yeah, mine was like just long. I don't know. Tall.
Thanksgiving turkey.
Wide.
Yes. It was nuts. Go to Fork.
It's what did you say?
He said go to Fork.
Go to Fork.
It's so fun.
Well, who is it? Is it Brian New that says he hates the lake or something like that? Like, he thinks Santee's better? Which Santee, I mean, Santee showed the hell out too for the Open, but.
Yeah, but dude, it ain't Fork. Santee's so much fun, but it ain't Fork.
The amount of 30-pound bags that came out of that this week was, or that week was absolutely insane.
I've never caught a 30-pound bag before then either.
Really?
That was your first time? No, never. Yeah, and we were going out like that morning. You know, me and Patrick Walters like roomed together, and we both had like the absolute worst practices you can imagine. Like, I caught on day two fish, and then day three of practice, one fish, and he caught one fish on that final day too. And I mean, it was like, we don't know what we're doing, where we're going. And I told him, I was like, I don't know, I'm about to go catch 30 pounds. He's like, okay, go for it. It happened.
Okay.
willed it into existence, basically. Yeah,
exactly. So did you hear I'm going to win the Classic next week?
I like
it. Yeah. Hey, we're all about that.
Do it up.
Yeah.
I got my flight for Monday morning, so I'm ready to throw down, man.
Yes, sir. Oh, it's gonna be fun.
Well,
they eat a jerk bait on that lake too.
Yeah, I've heard. I heard a time or two they like a jerk bait. But
yeah,
I'm excited. One that we're gonna dive into Classic for sure here in a little bit. But one of the things I'm curious about in a lake that like made 25 to 29 pounds look like you sucked. I'm curious what set people apart from like the people that were in the top 10 or top 20 from the rest. Like it looked like some people were just capable of finding that larger, you know, 6-7 plus caliber fish than the rest of everybody.
Yeah. I'll be honest. It was really hard like to get bit. And when you got bit, like obviously it was good ones, but like it was like I was catching 6 to 8 feet fish a day. Like it wasn't much, but I think it was more of I was specifically targeting those bigger fish. Like I didn't waste my time on those 3 and 4 pounders. And I think that's where, you know, it just comes down to efficiency. Yeah. Being good with the graph and know what I'm looking at and, you know what caliber of fish I'm actually targeting.
And hoping they bite.
And praying hard that they bite.
A lot of talking to the fish. Eat it, damn it. Yes.
Oh, I yelled at them so much. I don't know how much of that was on live, but I was just pissed off. Because every day I had a lull from like 8:30 in the morning. I would not get a bite until like 1:30. And I don't know what was going on. And apparently it wasn't like that for everybody. Everybody else was slowly doing it all day. But I don't think I've caught a fish all week like between that time frame.
Huh.
It's weird.
Wow.
How many fish do you think you caught on a day, like per day?
Like 6 to 8.
Okay. So it wasn't getting 5-6 bites.
Yeah. It was like, and each day I would lose like 1 or 2 of the right ones.
Oh, dang. Really?
And you probably had what, another 10, 15 follow it all the way to the boat and never commit.
Probably 80 to 100. Like stupid amounts. If you saw me casting, I was casting to a fish like 90 plus percent of the time.
That definitely seemed to be like the difference maker for a lot of guys. Is you'd see it like from an efficiency standpoint, like guys weren't casting now until they saw fish.
Yeah.
It definitely seemed like there was a healthy balance though amongst, let's say, the top 20 of different techniques between whether it's a jerkbait or jig head minnow or guys throwing, you know, like Maddie throwing a glide, where some guys are throwing hair jigs, it looked like some guys just even throwing a jig. It seemed pretty diverse, but you stuck with the jerkbait basically the whole thing, right?
I did catch 2 of my big ones off a jig, just flipping boat docks. But I think that goes to why it was so spread out. Like, there was still fish way out deep, and I think that's what Taku hit that first day. Those fish were still, you know, further out, but then they just more and more started leaving that, headed to the banks. So that's why I stayed shallow, and they just kept coming to me.
Sounds like
you could do whatever.
It sounds like you had some lucky jambalaya at Toledo.
Apparently that was the luckiest jambalaya I've ever had. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jason. Yeah. So we were staying at the place right there at Toledo, and one of the nights during practice, or it might've been during the tournament, he cooked himself, and me and Patrick and Bryant Smith and Alex Weather all went over there and ate with them. Some good old guys.
Hell yeah. Food's always better in the South.
Always.
Dustin Wilkie says that 8-pounder he caught while wearing some lucky bibs, though. There's got to be a story behind this.
Yeah, there's a long story with it when it comes to Wilkie.
That is the one there are a lot to talk about?
Not many of them. No. Wait, what happened?
He's frozen.
Justin
is frozen.
Hello? You got it? Hello, let me in.
Hello,
oh, we got you.
Oh, there it is. Apparently, we can't talk about Dustin Wilkie stories.
Yeah, it was frozen on the perfect face. It look, you look super happy.
I'm always super happy. Do you know me?
Oh, you are pretty good online. I will say that you do bring some entertainment.
Good. I bet it's some dumb entertainment, though.
We're fishermen. That's about the only entertainment you're getting. So,
yeah. Does that add any pressure to you, like knowing that you're on live, or do you kind of forget about it pretty quick?
I forget about it now. It did like my first couple of years for sure. I just like, oh, no. Now I just go fishing. And like the dude I had, the John with me as a camera dude, we hit it off good. So now it's like, I actually like it better. You actually cutting up with him the whole time. It's pretty fun.
But when you get guys like consistently camera wise that you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I had him at Toledo and whatever. Actually, I had him at St. Lawrence last year too. So yeah, he's from Maine. So I've made fun of him the whole time.
Damn Yankees. Y'all
Northerners. Damn Yankees.
He's about as far north as you can get too.
Yeah. I'm over there drinking my sweet tea and he's like asking me if I do yoga.
What?
Yeah,
I don't know if there's ever a day where, yoga. Yeah, I question your sanity if I knew you were doing yoga. Are you okay, bro? Is everything all good?
Something bad wrong.
Well, dude, wicked fun event to watch. Just watching absolute freaking giants get caught. One last thing on it before we move into, you know, classic things like that. What do you think separated from your perspective that Trey was doing that got him that edge in that tournament?
Honestly, I don't know what he was doing. I have no idea. I know where he was at just because like day three, I went to go in there and there was just a, just armada of boats. And it was like, I think it was him and Milliken or something. But I heard he was doing the same kind of deal, kind of fishing jerk baits and shallow.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I would say landed them, landed like two more.
That's one thing I want to, it would be interesting to, granted it's Texas, so maybe it'll get better for him. But who knows with his following as he leaves Texas, but like having a flotilla basically follow you all 4 days, it's got to almost be like you guys in the classic where it feels like people following you that much. Cause I can't imagine every event you experience that.
Not me. I'm just chilling by myself.
I'd follow you. Cause I know where the good sweet tea's at.
I'm trying to get some. Yeah.
Yeah, I did have like syrup.
There you go. I did have like a few follow me in there. It is kind of tough just because of like we're just going through this timber field, you know, looking on the panoptics, and these fish, like those fish are smart. So I could, whenever the boat, like if a boat comes over them, even if they're not fishing for them, like it spooks them and sends those fish to the bottom. So, like, you definitely would have to strategize, like, how you're going into an area. And but also, they're pretty dang good. Like, all the guys that had followed me, at least, like, I'd just tell them, you know, about to head that way or something. And the locals, like, were never an issue. That's a good thing. Like, they were very respectful.
Yeah. That's good. That's the last thing is, like, anyone would want to be, like, on top of your fish. But like,
yeah. Well, there was one guy.
Oh,
on
really?
That final day when I caught that 11 pounder. Yeah. He was like, oh, yeah, that's a giant. And just comes in there and like tries to cut me off. I was like,
a local?
Yeah. Or I don't know if they were locals or come from out of town, but they did not care.
Wow.
At all. Yeah. And at this point, they got like 10 other boats, like, you know, back there, like people are like lined on the road and like in the woods because it was literally like right at the takeoff, like behind the takeoff. So like it was in that creek and people like saw me when I caught it. And there's like people running through the woods to watch. like me fishing and stuff. And yeah, then this these guys just
kept that'd be kind of cool though.
That was pretty cool.
I bet. Dude, that one picture that rings in my head still is that picture of like 100 boats in this tiny little creek. Well, I think it was Christy, the Hartwell Classic that he, the second one that he lost, like barely that he was leading for the 2 days. Mm-hmm. And it's just like an armada of boats in this creek. He's trying to like flip docks. I'd lose my mind, dude.
It was the same way for him at Grand too when Evers won.
It's probably going to be the same way for him next week.
Yeah. For real, send everybody come follow Christy.
Yeah, you're gonna be walking down the dock, but hey, Christy's right here. Christy's right here. You follow me.
Yeah, follow this guy.
Brutal.
Oh man,
that's got to get in your head,
dude. It's got to. Like, I know it does me a little bit. I don't know, especially that many. That's like you got to think that messes with the fish some.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I would think so, especially like if you're trying to fish docks on the way back out and there's you're dipping and dodging through boats.
Yeah.
It's got to be obnoxious.
They know what's up. And just a PSA to everybody, please turn off your live scope if you're like coming to watch us. Turn it off, please.
Turn everything off.
The interference is terrible. Gosh.
That's got to be the most. You
from a long ways.
Well, and then Speaking of that, Andy and I are actually talking about this. Earlier was this trend now of co-anglers bringing live. That's got to be obnoxious too, because that's interference.
Yeah, there might be a floating panoptics out in the lake if I could get somebody with that.
Oh, hey, let me help you with that.
It'd be a cooler going down the lake.
We'll get it after the derby.
Yeah. Pick a dock you can leave it on or something. No, I mean, I'd be cool with it as long as it didn't start interfering with mine.
So you were experiencing that on Ford?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, after not just ask everybody to cut it off. Toledo was a little bit worse. Those guys are hardcore over there. They like to fish.
Oh, on Toledo?
They were all about it. Yeah.
Were you part of that? I'm trying to remember what area it was, but the like Zona and them were talking about how like giant group of anglers.
I do know. I hate freaking fishing in a crowd. That's where I was going on day one. And I go to like turn into like the main little deal that everybody was at and was like, nope, too many boats for me. And I was just went by myself. Oh, I was I just went to some new area and started fishing.
That was cool. Toledo day three that you're cracking them on a jig, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just did that out of spite of the spinning rod angle. Everybody was talking about live being boring and stuff. It was like everybody doing the same things. So I was like, I got a camera. I'm throwing a jig all day tomorrow. I don't care.
You're like, I'm getting paid. I'm going to throw a damn jig.
Yes. I was like, I just went to like new water. If you could tell, I was just by myself. And like, I don't know if they ever showed it, but everybody was like up there. And I was like at the dam, just chilling by myself. It was cool.
The replay, I think that was actually one of the powerful replays of the day was you catching him on a jig at Toledo. And it was, I think it was Zona that was just like, is he throwing a jig? Oh, yes. You just cracked one. It was pretty good. It was definitely refreshing, I think, for some people.
I know. I got so many comments on that. Like, oh, this is the best. Like, just hearing that line sing when you set the hook.
Old school meets new school. What's up?
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Was that a flipping jig you're throwing or football?
That's a big old mop jig. Mop jig? Like straight up Davy Height special.
Love it.
Okay, answer me this. Because
I've never caught a fish on a mop jig before then.
Okay, then maybe I won't ask. Because I was going to say, I've never thrown a mop jig. I threw it for the first time a couple weeks ago in the Carolinas. And I was just like, I'm like rigging one up. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell to do with this thing. Like, what freaking trailer do I even put on it? Like
a big old chunk, you know, just like the old school, just like legit the chunk, super chunk or whatever.
Are you dragging it? Like you working it like a finesse jig? Like how you even?
So the reason I tied that on, I had been like trying to get them to bite a jig, and dude, I would throw the jig at them, they would follow it to the bottom, and then I'd sit there, and then as soon as I start to move it, like they would freak out and swim away. So that mop jig has the living, you know, the rubber.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the rubber, and especially in cold water, it actually like moves around even when you're not moving it. So I was like, well, maybe I can just throw it out there and dead stick it. And that's how I caught them. If I moved the jig at all, it would spook them. So I just throw it out there, they'd follow it to the bottom, and I just hold it tight. Yeah.
Well, so you just feel you're like, oh, yep.
Yeah. You would feel the, just like your line would just thump. That was it.
Stuck in the jig in.
Yeah. Awesome. That's freaking awesome. Legit never caught one on it before then. I've always like had it in my tackle box. I had like two of them. Just had it in there. It's like, I don't know, maybe there'll be a day. And that morning, it's like, yeah, this is it.
He just knew it. Leaving the dock, he's like, I'm going to throw that mop jig today. Game on. Watch this.
Right.
I knew it. Knew it.
Living right at that point. Like,
no kidding. So how many days did you talk your wife into letting you stay at Fork after that event?
Honestly, I was so tired. I was so ready to get back home. They came, like my family drove that night before to come visit or whatever, to come watch the weigh-in. And my dad was like, let's go back out there tomorrow. I was like, if you want to catch a big one, I'm like, I'm getting like 6 bites a day, Dad. Like, and they go out there and crack them. And 2 weeks in a row, nonstop, daylight to dark, I wanted to sleep.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because your only day off was what, Sunday of Toledo?
Yeah, and had to travel for 4.5, 5 hours, whatever it was. And then I was stupid and went to another lake that day.
Oh, you used my fun fishing.
Milliken. Yeah. Milliken like had just caught 50 pounds out of this lake or something. And so he told me where it was. I was like, dude, I've never caught a 10 pounder. I want to go catch a 10. Well, apparently everybody watched his video and there was like 200 and something boats there. Oh, it's like a 600 acre lake.
Oh no.
Dumb.
Here's
they
your
ran. Acre. It was like, no, I didn't even have an acre. Oh my gosh.
That's insane.
Yeah.
You just get in line like the old Potomac days, just going down the grass flats. I heard stories about that. Just get in line, buddy. Yeah. Make a cast.
And I already told you, I don't like crowds.
That's tough.
I don't know many people that do.
Felt like an 8 pounder. I was like, whatever, I'm out.
Yeah. Peace. That's cool, man. So looking ahead at Classic, obviously you got a few under your belt, did pretty damn good at Hartwell. You feeling that that's going to translate any with Grand?
I feel like I know what to expect more now. Like going into the whole Classic week is just insane. With all the media and like, just like get sleep when you can, because it ain't going to be much. That's for sure. Don't expect sleep. But yeah, like I don't know, kind of more comfortable going into this one. And Grand Lake just seems to set up like so freaking perfect, right up my alley. It's like jerk bait and jig is all you need. My two favorite baits. Let's go.
Doesn't sound fun at all.
Ah, it's awful.
Sounds like your fantasy fishing campaign. You're trying to get votes here.
I don't care. Y'all can come on with it. Look, just so I was on Mercer's podcast earlier, whatever. Yeah. I guess it's going to be tomorrow. But yeah. I was already like doing the practice and like holding the trophy up and all that stuff. Dude, I don't know why he had me on with. It was me, Van Dam, and Rick Klun in the same episode.
That's quite like, the crowd.
Like, I'm in it? Like, what?
You're like, me?
Did you mean to text me?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, you sure? I mean, I'll do it. No doubt.
That's awesome, dude. So, yeah. Like, all of you guys together? I mean, obviously, we're going to see tomorrow.
Mercer's no, it was, like, segmented. Yeah.
That's cool, dude.
But I think, like, Van Damme's doing some big announcement, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got some stuff coming that'll be pretty exciting. Yeah. That's cool, man. It definitely, to your point, the whole sleep thing, I think that adds, like, a whole other perspective of impressiveness to what Jordan Lee did. His first couple classics, just going in there through all of that as a rook and winning and then going back to back.
Yeah. Anybody that wins a class, like on paper, it's like, yeah, it shouldn't be that bad. It's only 50 whatever guys. But dude, it's a different mindset that everybody has. Like, they're just going to win. Everybody's going there to win. And then there are so many more distractions that week. Like, fishing is like the last thing you get to think about. It's wild.
Well, yeah, and it's not 50 guys fishing for a check. It's 50 guys that are fishing versus something completely different. There are 50 guys that don't give a damn if they zero. They'd rather catch, they'd rather zero than go catch a limit. Well, maybe I can't say that. I mean, I think Gussie would have given anything to catch a limit in the last day of Classic last year.
Dude, he was begging for it.
Dude, I can't imagine. I mean, he was like, what was going through his head running back on that third day?
Oh my gosh! And how many fish you saw just like come up and like just stare at his bait?
One of the
pissed off at some fish.
Yeah, well, and the amount of 17 inches he caught too.
Oh yeah, dude,
it's gotta be aggravating as hell. No, well, it wasn't stressful. A week like largies were just like biting for everybody else either, because the guys are struggling to catch those too.
That place is tough.
Yeah,
that place ain't easy.
No. Well, dude, I could talk about this whole Texas trend for years on end, but Classic coming up. When are you? Practice starts for you guys. What, Friday?
Yep.
We're headed down tomorrow, Thursday.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Something. I don't know.
Something. You just get to go up and go.
Now I'm going to roll the Classic. Go practice. We'll show up. Local.
Yeah. Easy. I mean, that's what's crazy. Our practice is like, we practice Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the tournament doesn't start until next Friday. So it's like, just look around the lake, kind of get a feel. But don't think you're going to have your like starting spot or something figured out.
Probably going to change seven unless times you're Christy. Between next Friday.
Oh, dude. Yeah, it's March. Like 70 degree days are expected. Yeah, there's a lot going to change.
Yeah, we got our it looked interesting. I was doing a little bit of pre-prep for our fantasy show. It's going to be interesting week for you guys, but fun nonetheless. And yeah, I mean, I think Christy being the hard worker is. I'll be down Wednesday.
Oh, sorry.
So you'll see me bothering you at media day.
Okay, good. Yeah. Maybe we can like sneak off to one of them lakes, like in Texas or something.
Anybody seen Justin Hammer anywhere? Yeah. Oh,
he's fishing. It's like, he's doing media. Come on.
Yeah. I need to borrow Justin for the whole media day. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, 10 killer's pretty anybody close. Wants to take there, a picture, isn't it?
Come on.
Yeah, they're having that kayak championship on 10 killer, but you can run them over.
We got to get Bailey a big one.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't catch those things. Good luck.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Either way,
do the old handoff. I got him. Here you go.
Yeah,
that might have yours.
I finally catch one double digit bass. I'm like, dude, it's easy. Come on.
Well, so quick funny story about that. My personal best smallmouth was 6 pounds, 14 ounces. And it was in Andy's boat. We were with Sean from X2. And we were literally farting around, like, because we were catching a bunch of fish. And we were catching like a bunch of like 4.5, like close to fives. And like, I was literally just joking with Sean, like saying, I'm going to give him the rocks. I leaned into this one. I'm like joking with him. Oh, you want to reel it in? Cause he lost a couple. And then it comes up and jumps. I'm like, nope, this is mine.
I saw it coming up on Mega Live, and I was like, dude, that's a giant. And Bailey's like, no, it's fighting like a 3-pounder. I'm like, no, it's big. I'm like, here comes the jump.
I wish Sean like, would have took that from me.
Yeah. That's what you're joking about. It's like, imagine I actually gave you the rod. It's this 7-pound small.
Yeah, no biggie. Catch it all the time, right?
Yeah. That's awesome. Yes, well, that's dude, fun. I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. Obviously, watching you compete, but drive safe. Yeah, yep. Get over the classic. Get ready to keep practicing, holding that trophy, and we'll be rooting for you, buddy.
I appreciate y'all. If y'all need anything, you know, I'll be there.
Yes, sir. With some sweet tea, I hope.
You dang right. Thank y'all.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good night.
See ya.
Always a good time with Mr. Justin Hamner. Dude, I think a guy like him that is always so positive, at least from our perspective, that's just like, I just want to go freaking fishing, have fun. I think there's an advantage there, like in regards to
no stress.
Yeah. Literally no stress. He's like, screw these damn spinning rods. I'm going to go.
I'm going to throw a mop jig, and I've never thrown it once in my life. We'll make it work.
If people could see, I should have added him live when he's doing that crap. If people could see what's going on down there in the queue. Oh, that's good. It's a perfect example. Exactly. That's just talking about. But either way, always a good time with Mr. Hamner, and, being the jerkbait aficionado that he is, like I told you guys in the intro, we have a jerkbait bracket challenge that we're going to do here. We got two fellas on our join here. We got a quick message from X2, but we got Mr. Tyler Berger, Mr. Kobe Koenig from Wired to Fish that are going to be joining us. But we'll be back here after a quick message from X2 Power.
In the world of battery power, a word to the wise. Compromise elsewhere.
All right, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Justin Hamner. As always, it's good to get Justin on. Learn from him, talk about his event on Lake Fork and catching that 11-pounder. That was freaking incredible. Make sure you guys go down and give Justin a follow, especially with Classic Week coming. I expect some fireworks from him. So it's going to be fun week next week for the Classic, but looking forward to watching Red Crest this week. Make sure you guys check out the different links we talked about in the intro. Save you guys some money on all the different baits that we talked about, as well as the next episode, part two of our live stream from this show will be posted on Friday, and it's going to be that jerk bait bracket challenge. So we're getting on Tyler Berger from Bass Fishing HQ and Kobe Koenig from Wired to Fish, good pal of mine. We're going to do a little jerk bait bracket challenge, a little jerk bait breakdown, and try to determine what is the best jerk bait and what are some of the top three, top five. We got all those linked down below, so you can kind of get a little snippet of the different jerk baits we are going to weigh in on for that bracket. But nonetheless, great show today. Appreciate you guys. Send us your DMs, your thoughts on who might win Red Crest, your picks to win the Classic. I also mentioned Monday night for next week, we're going to be going live with the Fantasy Fishing Crew for our Bassmaster Classic show. So make sure you guys join that. We're going to be doing a giveaway for that show as well. Stay tuned for that. It's going to be pretty big. Win some Blackfish gear. So make sure you guys come and tune in for that show specifically. But appreciate you guys, and we'll see you on the next one.
Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners. where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Searsanga fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all on the next one.